Well, Roosters fans, a nail-biter last week against the Gold Coast, as I predicted, no pushover. Silky, you predicted the boys would go out and give the Gold Coast an absolute hiding. You said they had nothing to play for. You talked about meter maids. You talked about waves, and you dismissed them completely. And I've got to tell you, it wasn't until the last 6 minutes where we iced the win, iced the home final against the Broncos. And once again, your little mate over here was right.
Yes, Bush. Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Roosters Radio. It was a big day out there at Allianz on Saturday, Bush. All three grades. We got the cash in all three grades. Our 20 smashed, absolutely smashed the Titans. 60 points to 24.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, missing out on the final eight by one measly point. We're going to talk to Tony Barnes on this week's show. Then Wyong Roos, a real sea-storing battle, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, the dogs are strong.
They got the cash 34-26 in extra time. A Paul Momroski try in the corner. But it was a great offload from Nat Butcher that set it up. You know, great win to them. And then the main game, I was calling it up there for Triple M, Bush, if just a little plug there, if you will.
You were excellent.
But
great bias call from you,
I have to say, look, I was never panicking. I didn't panic during that whole game. We weren't our best. We weren't at our best. It was a scratchy performance at best, I thought. Plenty of errors. But I was always confident we're going to get the cash, and we did, 20 points to 16.
Yeah, look, I don't think we panicked. And one of the things I think you got to take from last week's game, I said the Titans had plenty to play for. I don't think there's a football team in Australia, win, lose or draw, top eight, bottom eight, whatever you are on the ladder, running last, that doesn't want to make a good account of themselves. These guys are professionals. And, you know, I think we possibly, some of the fans took the Titans a little bit lightly, thought they had probably more off-field dramas than they did. They would have got in that dressing room and said, listen, if we can spoil the Roosters, and it was proven, Sunday at ANZ Stadium, and the Canterbury Bulldogs did that to the Dragons. Fast forward, Silky, let's get back to how good the activation was. Jared Johnson, COO of the Roosters, invited Roosters Radio to come down to the forecourt and play some episodes of Roosters Radio and interview some of our legends. Last game of the year is obviously the reunion. Terry Murphy, Russell Fairfax, Alan McKeon, you know, the list goes
Kevin
on.
Junior.
Kevin Junee. What great speakers. You know, they play with all our junior clubs. Who would forget, as you said rightfully, Kevin Junee's Run For Your Life Sports. And they talked about the game in such an amazing way. They talked about Jack Gibson and the influence he had on it. It's going to be such a great show. And we're going to listen to those interviews here. But I tell you what I'm most excited about. We've got Tony Barnes coming in from the 20s. We both love Barnesy. Great bloke. Been a great coach, took us to the grand final last year and snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. We're going to talk to him about his time at the Roosters. He's moving on, and the big name at the Roosters who is moving on, and someone who's very close to our hearts and a big fan of our show, and we're a huge fan of his, is Aidan Guerra. Aidan's going to sit in our mobile podcast studio at Roosters HQ, and we're going to do this interview, and I can tell you right now, I'm excited.
You're on Roosters Radio. We'll be back in a sec.
Well, Roosters fans, welcome to Roosters Radio in the caravan, the mobile studio parked outside Roosters HQ. Silky, guest host Tony Barnes, what a great inclusion to the Roosters Radio team. Of course, Barnesy off the back of a reasonably successful year at the 20s. I know, call it a successful 2 years, Barnesy with a comp behind you, but we've got one of our outgoing players in the van here, and he is without doubt one of our favourites. In fact, he could be our first inductee into the Roosters Radio Hall of Fame. In fact, decision's been made.
Does this mean a nude statue as well?
It's got to be. And you know what the good thing is?
I'll start posing now.
we don't need Brian Fletcher to sort of give the same sort of help the Boyd Cordner was asked for after. So that's good. Would you please welcome to Roosters Radio, Aidan Guerra. Aidan, welcome to the mobile podcast studio.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here.
Mate, our Roosters fans are very excited. Obviously, we're made of the finals. Last week was a tough week, but it was always hard to get over the Gold Coast. How did you find the game?
Yeah, well, I actually sat that one out with a sore hip, so it was very stressful for me sitting on the sidelines. It's a lot different to being out there on the field where, you know, you sort of have a little bit of control over what happens. It was just sitting there and, you know, obviously everything didn't go our way and sort of was on the edge of my seat. And then probably the last seven minutes, I think the 7 minute mark, I thought it would be okay. So, yeah, it was very stressful, and you sort of get a little snippet into what life's like as a fan or a diehard Rooster, and, geez, it's a tough old life.
Yeah. Your form at the back end of the season, mate, has been exciting. It's been exceptional. I know, you know, you got the little niggle that you sort of got rested last week, but you must be really pleased with the way, you played, and, this back half of the year has been a great bit of form for you.
Yeah, look, Bush, it was, I guess, it was one of those things after – what happened last year. I tried to learn some lessons out of that, and pretty much from the end of the season to this point, and it's going to continue, I've wanted to get back to where, you know, where I'm contributing every week for this club. And, you know, it's something that I've enjoyed, getting back there on the edge and playing good footy. And, you know, there's hopefully three more good performances left. And, yeah, that's where I'm at the moment.
And I just want to celebrate your career, mate, at the club. You joined in 2010. You've played over 150 games for us, represented Italy, represented Australia, 10 state of origins. You've done it all in the game, won a premiership. What are some of the highlights of your career at the club?
Yeah, there's a few different sort of aspects there for highlights. There's obviously the ones on the field, which is the grand final, the state of origins, the test, even the debut going right back. That was a pretty big moment. And then you got all the highlights off the field, which, you know, of what really like solidified this is probably like the best period in my life. And the friends that I have here, it's, although you sort of form bonds on the field, you certainly cement them off the field. And I feel like that's why I'm leaving this place a happy man, because I've got so many good friendships.
I remember when you came to the club, and Barnsley might be able to give us a bit more information, but you had a lot of injuries in Melbourne, if I'm not mistaken, and you had an injury-prone kind of career at Melbourne. Then you came to the club, and looking back at your career, you've played 20-plus games for about the last 5 years. What happened in the early days there, and you know, what changed?
I'm not too sure. I think there was one major injury that probably haunted me early on, and then it was just, I guess it was trying to turn the way I approached training, and you know, even the physical makeup of my body just sort of has transformed a little bit along the way. And I guess it's, again, there's a lot of aspects that sort of add to it. But in middle of 2013, I think me and Robbo had a pretty in-depth conversation about, you know, where, what direction I wanted my career to go. And that was probably the like right in the middle of the season there. And made a few choices then, and from that moment it sort of turned around. And, you know, I think 11 and 12 we didn't see success, but, you know, I was big, like, you know, I was there pretty much every week for both of those seasons when I was fit. But 13 is probably when I turned into someone who, you know, I felt was a little bit dependent on in a side.
Is that because Robbo made you part of the leadership group? Was it something Robbo said to you?
We had a pretty honest conversation. I was taking the piss a bit off the field, drinking the piss anyway. But yeah, I was enjoying being in Sydney, and you know, all the things that come with that. But it, I think it just sort of, it wasn't really an ultimatum, although, you know, it sort of felt like one, that sort of get my shit together or go find somewhere else, I guess.
Barnsley, I've got a question for you. I mean, you know, you were down in Melbourne and, you know, saw Aiden at the early stages of your career. You're a coach and you're such a mentor of young men. We've seen a great job you've done with our 20s, and you must be extremely proud yourself. You're a guest host today, but to see a guy come from where he's come from to have that season in third, and we all knew that Aiden Guerra had it. And then when he made his Origin debut, you know, even as a New South Welshman, you had that little bit of...
Yeah, we were proud of him.
Pride. In know what he's achieved, because, you know, he's such a great guy off the field and on the field. You must be extremely proud to see the development.
Yeah, I first ran into Aiden in 2009. I was with the Central Coast Storm under the Melbourne Storm, and he was coming back from injury. Jamie Feeney was the coach up there, and I was a skills coach and assistant coach in the New South Wales Cup, and Aiden started to get back on track then. Peter O'Sullivan was at the Roosters recruitment. You know, and he tipped me up early days that, you know, what a good player he was and what a good player he was going to be. So he certainly gave him some special attention there. And I used to travel up to Somersby on a Friday. They'd come up from Melbourne and they'd play out of Murray Bean, a bit like Wyong does these days. So, yeah, that was going back then. And then obviously in 2010, he joined the Roosters.
Aiden, who are some of the special players in the relationships? Who are your best mates at the club? Who are the blokes you bond with the most?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a crew of us that have been here the whole time. From when I got here in 2009. I was pretty close with Friendy right from the start. He had a little sabbatical there, so I think we were pen pals for a while. But we stayed close, and you know, he's the godfather to my daughter, and he'd be best man at my wedding, so he's my best mate. And then obviously we got Boydo. Boydo's been a good mate of mine since then as well. He's obviously a little bit younger, but
he admitted getting signed here when he was 10 as well, which is a good thing. That was last week.
10, that seems like a long time ago for him, looking at his head. There's Boyd. I mean, Skidsy was here right from the start with me. Jared, he started in the same year. Naps has come on since then, and, you know, he's sort of joined the crew. Yeah. That was a while ago, but, yeah, I think Piercy, I lived with Piercy there for a while. There's a couple of good little stories that come out of that period of my life.
That's for the after hours
radio
podcast.
Hub after
that. We'll keep it PG. There's that core group that have made, I guess, this time here pretty special, and something that I'll never forget.
Who do you look to on the field and go, wow, geez, I'm glad I'm playing with this guy? Who inspires you to be better?
Yeah, every week, you know, after the game, they come up to you and ask for your player vote. And I guess that sort of answers for me, because there's always two names that are right up there, and that's our two skippers. I think there's no doubting why or questioning why Robbo chose these two blokes to be our captains, because, you know, every week all the front rowers or whatever, it's running straight at Friendy. They see him from a mile away and just line him up, and man, he dishes them up all the time, puts them on their back.
He's
and
incredible, he
doesn't stop. Boydo, we know what we get from him. I get a bit filthy on the right edge there, because he gets all the carries and I have to make all the tackles. the way that he leads with the ball is like second to none.
Friday night, Broncos at home. You must be looking forward to that clash.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're one of those teams that you sort of expect to be around this time of the year. And I think the game on Saturday against the Titans, our fate was in our own hands, I guess. And it's always a tough trip going up to Brisbane. There's no denying that. So, you know, for us to be able to come away with the win against the Titans, it puts us in a good stead to capitalise on that this week against the Bronx.
Mate, Trent Robinson, much gets written about Robbo, and, you know, he's always so composed. You know, you've played under Robbo since he made a return to the club after, 2010. What makes him such a great coach? I know it makes him such a great bloke, but what makes him such a great coach?
I guess he's got a bit of everything about him, you know. Like when he went away, it was the end of 2012 season, and we'd found out that Smithy had, got the sack, and they were going in a different direction. They sort of took a little bit of time to name who it was. And although Robbo hadn't had any head coach experience, there was a group of us that were really excited to have him back. I think from the 2010 season, he earned that respect. He earned that rapport with the players, and I think the first thing you need as a head coach is the respect, and you can't demand it. It's your actions and the way you treat people that you get that in return. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously got that respect from the players, but I think he's good at getting everyone believing and working towards the same goal. I think that's one thing. Like he's got all the side things like honesty and things like that, which I think is really important in a coach. But I think it's the ability to have everyone looking in the right direction. It's hard to do at a club where there's 30 blokes, but
in the same direction, I guess.
Yeah. So to have 30 blokes in a squad all working towards the same thing is pretty difficult. But he seems to have that one run.
Heading to Newcastle next year, new challenges. What excites you about next season?
I was in a situation where obviously I wanted to stay at the Roosters. This is, as we said, like it's been massive
seven
part.
Good years.
Yeah, seven, eight good years going on. But I went and I spoke to Nathan Brown about the direction he sees the club going and things like that, and that sort of excited me. It reminded me a little bit about how we were in 11 and 12. And, you know, we had those years of struggle, and that sort of built a bit of character. And you can see that about the Knights team from this year compared to last. So I think that's a very exciting for me to be able to go to a place where, you know, I can be a part of hopefully rebuilding that club to, you know, where they were pretty successful back in the day, which everyone remembers the Knights as being successful. So that, and I think it'd be a good place to live, good place to
bring up a final. It's a great joint.
Bring up a family.
Yeah, it's exciting. Mate, you touch on family. I know, you know, you've had your beautiful daughter here and your lovely wife. Do you, you know, does that mean more to you now to take the field? Do you sort of feel like, you know, with the addition of your, you know, lovely young girl and, you know, I suppose in your relationship, do you feel like you're carrying them onto the field now as well with you, as opposed to when you first started?
I don't know. There's all those sort of outside motivations that people draw on, but at the end of the day, it's a game of footy, and it's the game that I love. So it's pretty easy to go out there. I mean, if you try and get bogged down in all this like other stuff and doing it for people, sometimes it does weigh you down. And yep. I think if anything, that's probably what happened in 16 when, you know, when things weren't going the way they planned. You sort of put a little bit more stress, and I just find the more I try and enjoy it, the more enjoying it is. So.
Finally, you've been part of that team that everyone says, you know, we hear about Clive Churchill and we hear about Raper. You've played with Smith, Thurston, Cronk, you know, who, and Slater, who possibly will get in as the four best players we've seen. Do you agree with that statement, and what makes them so special?
Yeah, I think there's no denying it, especially I think Smithy, the way he controls the game, it's freakish. Like, he's done it for, what, best part of 15 years, and he's, you know, barely missed a beat the whole time. I think, personally, he's going to go down as the greatest of all. JT's great in the big moments and plays off the cuff, but I feel like Smithy just controls the game from the outset, and everything's at his pace. And, you know, to be able to say when it's all said and done that I played against and with those guys will be, something very special.
Well, mate, we want to thank you for joining us here on Roosters Radio. And I know I speak for all Roosters fans when we say thank you for the great service you've given our club. It's sad that you've got to leave, but, mate, that's football. And we wish you not only the best on Friday night, but with the rest of the season and even into next year, mate. You're a great bloke, and we won't forget you. Aiden Guerra, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, boys. I'm looking forward to that statue.
Sweet. There you go. Aiden Guerra, officially inducted into the Roosters Radio Hall of Fame, Silky.
Welcome back to Roosters Radio. And Bush, early in the intro there, you touched on some of the interviews that took place in the forecourt. Kevin Junee, Russell Fairfax, Alan McKean, the team from 1967. In 66, we spoke about it on last week's show, they didn't win a game. 1967, the great Jack Gibson comes to the club, and they are one game shy of the grand final. We caught up with some of the players on the day, and here's what they had to say.
Well, Bush, here we are. Doing a bit of a live recording of Roosters Radio. A couple of the greats there, Streak and Steve Deacon, who'll be getting a run on Triple M at 3 o'clock today as part of the Roosters bias call. Bush, you've got a legend next to you who's organising the old boys, the Roosters old boys day, as we celebrate the team of 67. Who you got?
Got none other than the great Russell Fairfax. And you don't have to be anyone else in the Roosters community to know what a legend this man is, our club. Russ, today's such an important day. You got these new hats, the retro Rooster hats. You know, you've been at this club since you were a teenager, since you had long, flowing locks and got kicked out. What does today mean to you to get together with all of your mates, all of the players, and talk about great things from the past?
Look, please don't get me wrong, but this is one of the jobs I have with the Roosters, looking after the former players. And we've got about 50 former players coming along, and we've got a whole bunch from the 1967 team, because this is 2017. So we're going to have a great time. I'm really looking forward to it. I love playing here for the Roosters. They're a great team. And to be here, this is around about my 20th year here, so I'm loving it.
Russ, that 67 side, do you have any memories of some of those great players yourself as a young bloke? And you know, what stands out in your mind when you think about that side?
Look, the fullback was Alan McKean, right? And I joined the Roosters thinking I'm going to play second grade. Well, I watched him, and he was a fantastic player. And in the last trial match back in 1974 when I joined the club, he broke his ankle. And I'm playing first grade from day one. And I held on, but we've become great mates. He's a fantastic guy. He played a bit of lower grades, but look, he's here today and I'm going to give him a big cuddle. He's one of my legends. I learnt more about how to play the game for the Roosters watching him play the trial matches back in 1974. And I was just lucky to get a start. And he's a hero of mine, I can tell you.
Yeah, wow.
Now, Russell, it's no secret that we didn't win a game in 66. In fact, in 64 and 65, we won a total of five games. But in 67, the team that we're celebrating today, the great man that coached you to a grand final victory, Jack Gibson, took over the helm. Can you share a story, a Jack story? You know, the fans always love a Jack Gibson story. Have you got one for us?
Oh, I've got a few. I don't know how many I can tell, though. That's a drama. But look, just thinking about that 1967 side, in 66 they never won a game, and in 67 they came one game away from the grand final. And they were unlucky to meet in that major semi-final. So that's why we're celebrating them here today. Now, Jack Gibson, I can tell you about Jack Gibson. I remember going to Jack's house over at Cronulla for the first party back in 1974. And he never used to say a great deal, but he said to me, he said, "Russell, don't muck around. This is my house. If you do, you won't pay here, but you'll pay on the football field." And exactly what Jack said to me. He's a fantastic guy. I really miss him. You know, he came back and coached the side after I finished first grade, and I just loved him. He was a great man. He looked after the players. And my first year in the Grain with the Roosters, he looked after me. We became very close mates, me and Gimmo.
That's your great mate, Terry Murphy, down here. No slouch himself. Terry is a player in the 70s, played with both the Roosters and the side we beat last week, the Sharks. You and Tez seem to get together all the time and be the main instigators of these drinks and getting these old boys together and a lot of these great players. Must be good to have a 5-8.
Oh, look, it's fantastic working with Terry. He's involved with the Men of League and he works with the Roosters on a basis. He helps me to death. I can't believe it. I know I'm a big rap. Big thank you, Terry. But look, he's with the Men of League and he's with our club. And if you have someone that does that, the Roosters are very lucky.
Tez, some memories for you. I mean, you know, we talk often to you on Roosters Radio. We know your sponsor, Mitchell Orbison, through your great company there, Office National. And, you know, today's Roosters game against the Titans, I don't think we're a shoo-in, but I certainly think we got the upper hand. What do you think?
Yeah, I certainly got the upper hand, but you've got to come here to play. And look what South did to Parramatta last night. So if we haven't got our footy head on, they'll dust us up. So you've got to do the hard stuff. Get in, get your line speed, put them on their ass, you know, and everything else will fall into place.
Alan McKeon, here to have a bit of a chat to us, of course. Alan won't remember me. I look different. He was my SG ball coach and, mate, taught us how to goal kick. Geez, he was good to us. And I tell you what, it's amazing how Alan looks fitter than he's... still look as good as he did when you played. Alan, welcome to Roosters Radio.
Thanks very much. Yeah. It's been nice to be here, actually. Things have changed, but it's great. Yeah, lovely.
Mm. Al, what do you think when you come to this ground that you played so many games at? And, you know, you're a legend at this club and Russell Fairfax just spoke so highly of you when he was a young player coming through. He said he your misfortune was his fortune and you've become great mates ever since. You must love days like today.
Oh, I think it's terrific. You know, to see these young blokes come here today, I'll tell you what, they're nice and big. They weren't as big as when I was playing. It's unbelievable, yeah.
They say you should never compare eras, but is that the difference, the athleticism of the players and the size as opposed to when you played with so much skill and, I suppose, cunningness?
Oh, yeah, the game's a lot faster today, but, you know, when you look back, you know, they've taken a lot out of the game. Like, you know, I'm talking about the elbows and knees and all this type of thing. You know, I've cleaned it right up. And some ways I'd love to play again, but in other ways I wouldn't. But no, it's really good the way things are today. It's great. They've done a great job, yeah. It's terrific.
Alan, I want to talk about the 67 side. We spoke to Russell before. You were part of that team. To go from winning zero games in 66 to making the semi-finals, what was the difference? Was it the coach or was there something else to it?
Oh, well, I'm glad you said that because, you know, naturally enough, Gibbo Cup was his first year, but, you know, on the committee, no one wanted the job on the committee. And then we've got blokes like Jimmy Hunt and Roy Flynn and these blokes that they were just knockabout blokes, and the harmony in the club at that time was terrific, you know. And everyone wanted to play for one another, and it was great, yeah. No, I think that was the difference, quite honestly. There was so much harmony in the club, it was great, yeah.
And a day like today where you get to catch up with your old teammates, so you must be looking forward to it and throwing down a couple of cold ones.
Most definitely, you know. I'm sorry there's not more here, but, you know, I'm just looking forward to today with Kevin Journey and the boys. That's great bunny.
Mate, I want to ask you, the goal kickers these days, you know, with the kick and tees and whatnot, back in your era it was either sawdust or sand. How do you reckon you'd go with the kick and tee?
Today they got it easy.
Yeah.
No, you can't compare. Like, the old leather ball and the ball today, you can kick it a mile, you know what I mean? And I've always said that, you know, like, give them the leather ball and the wet, see how they go. But anyway, that's the way it is, you know. So, you know, I'd love to kick with the old ball, actually.
Well, they keep coming, Roosters fans, and, you know, there's not many other big names in this club that you have not heard of than this next one, and we've got the pleasure of spending a little bit of time with the great Kevin Janee. Kevin, welcome to Roosters Radio, live in the forecourt. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Kevin, first question we've asked, you know, all of our guests, you know, the great Russell Fairfax, Alan, now yourself. What's your greatest memory from that side, that 67 side?
I think the greatest memory is that we were running off a match of the day. We earned a match of the day in the Sydney Cricket Ground, and this was our first one for a long, long time. And we're playing Canterbury, who was captain coached by the great Kevin Ryan. And we won that day. I forget the score. It was pretty close. But I think it was about 8-5 or 8-3, whatever it might have been. But we were running off the field, and the Paddington Hill was just going crazy. And I said to our captain, Jim Matthews, I said, Jim, why don't we just go over to the hill? And he said, what for? I said, I don't know. But I said, there's a lot of fans over there, and I know a lot of my schoolmates and things like that were over there, and so I sort of, we all walked across and just stood in front of everybody, and they just went off the, and we just, they clapped us and we clapped them, and I sort of feel that might have been the first, we were the first team to do that, I don't know, you know, but it was a great feeling.
Yeah. Let's talk about the 67 team, and you were there earlier in the 66 as well. We asked Alan the question, but what was the difference? What clicked in 67 that just didn't happen in 66?
We won more games in 67. The big thing for us, when I think back in all those years, is the introduction of the four tackle rule. I remember playing at the Sydney Sports Ground the year before. And we against St George, and we still had 10,000 people. You know, we were probably coming last, but we still had 10,000 people, the local fans, because they believed in the juniors that were in the team, and the side was made up. Yeah, and I think the team grew from that, from the family, you know, from the district type of the district rules that, like, you know, you had to live and play for your district. And the momentum started to pick up from that, you know, because they could see all of these young fellows, probably like a little bit like Newcastle to some degree, where they knew they were going through a development stage. But it really arrived home in 67 with the... and we used to hold our own till half-time with these great St George sides and other sides. But then they were bigger and just wore us down a little bit in the second half. But in 67, introduction of the four tackle rule gave us an equal opportunity. And then there was the great coach of Jack Gibson involved in that resurrection.
Welcome back to Roosters Radio, fans. Silky joining us is our guest host, of course, and he's also the coach of our under-20s at the Sydney Roosters, but none other than Tony Barnes. Barnesy, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Mate, thanks for coming in. Barnesy, this year the boys went out last week on a high, but we went out last week. Can you describe, you know, the thoughts and feelings that you had as a group compared to, you know, this time last year? It was a very exciting time. How did you feel this year going out just out of the eight?
Yeah, we last year we five, six games out, we were running second. Probably fell away a bit in our last three or four games, but you know, we sort of had enough wins on the board to sort of reset ourselves and go again in the finals. This year we weren't that consistent, you know, winning one and two, which is just not good enough. And to then come in at the end, you know, we won six and drew one of our last eight games. So we had our backs to the wall right from the start. But we played our best football at the end. But we don't get a chance of sneaking into the finals. And look, we took it from fifth last year, just slipped out of the four. I'm sure we could have done some damage if we had got in there and been playing this weekend.
Bungie, I just want to touch on that amazing grand final last year. Down 26-8 at half time. Now, I remember watching the game and think, well, they're gone. I'd be curious to know, what'd you say to the boys at half time and what turned it round?
There was a few things, obviously.
Home truths.
Yeah, there was a lot of home truths, and, you know, probably topped it off that, you know, they were the best. Everybody came to watch them play. Everybody came to watch them win the grand final, and it looked like we'd done the same. So it was a time that, you know, I got sick of watching them play their grand final. It was about time we started to play ours. So that's where it was, and then broke it down into sort of 10-minute periods and how that sort of was going to look. And then, yeah, the boys sort of took it from there. They scored early. And, you know, some pretty ugly football sometimes in grand finals, but it's just about, you know, pushing a little bit harder than the next person. So that's where we turned it around, and I think Nat scored early, and then obviously the two of Arshashek scored late. But unfortunately, I think, you know, early in our season, we probably, even though we had a lot of new players this year, we kept thinking about what was last year and not really what was this year, and, you know, kept reminding them at every point that that wasn't going to be the case. And, I don't think it helped us at the start.
Mate, are you sad to see that the 20s of the Holden Cup disappear from the NRL as it is?
I am. I think when it first came in, like I said, it was 10 years ago, and I was, you know, working for Melbourne. I'd just come from the Dragons and did a few years on the Central Coast with the Melbourne Storm in Jersey Flag, and then it was New South Wales Cup as well, like obviously the older boys, and then came back into the Roosters in 2010 in the NYC, and probably thinking back then that it was elevated too high for where it was. And it wasn't the elevation of the 20s, it was the New South Wales Cup in reserve grade being dropped down below it. So I didn't sort of agree with it at the start, but as it got momentum and how good it was for the boys, I think it's been a good thing. And to sort of now, you know, de-elevate it, if that's probably not a good word, but to make sure it's going below where it should be, I don't think is a good thing, I'm afraid.
Bunzi, you know, when we all grew up, it was, 23s, reserve grade, first grade, and then that went to 21s, and then obviously finally 20s in New South Wales Cup. And there's been so many different ingredients to make this cake. I reckon we had it right. If you look back to the history, I got a bit of a theory that I think we had it right, and maybe we tried to fix something that didn't need fixing, or maybe it was a financial issue. What is the right mix, in your opinion?
I think 23s, reserve grade, and NRL, I think that's where it needs to be. I think those age groups are pretty right, in my opinion. That is very hard. We're going to lose a lot of front rowers because they're not ready for that next step.
Battle hardened.
Yeah. So when you're 23, 22 as a back rower, front rower, you know, that's probably where you're at. And if you're not going to make it probably in the NRL by then it's fair enough. But now there's a transition from 20s back into that reserve grade, and we can probably lose a few of those bigger boppers there. So, you know, that's the front rower side of it. Obviously, with halves, that's at the other end. So when they're playing in older grades and they're getting knocked around, so we need to protect those smaller type players because they're dying from the game as well. So, yeah, it isn't easy, but I think that's pretty close.
When we went through, you know, as kids were about, you know, close enough in the same vintage, I think, rugby league had 15 footballers out of a squad of 17 and two athletes, and now that mix has changed to probably, 15 athletes and two footballers. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, and it's, you know, if you look at the NYC, the Sharks, they were standouts this year, and their back five were just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They were way better than any back five. They were strong, athletic. And they just carried them through. And they played with a fairly small pack compared to the size of their back five. So, you know, that was just something that I saw this year that, you know, had changed a bit.
Mate, 2014, you took the SG ball to Premiers. You backed it up in 2016 with a lot of the same squad. Just going through some of the names that have now played first grade. You've got Latrell Mitchell, Connor Watson, Nat Butcher, Joey Manu. They were all in that 2014 SG ball side. Which one of those young blokes have you been most impressed with in their development into a first grade footballer?
I think probably Nat's got the best work ethic of all of them. You know, everybody's different. Everybody can't be the same. You know, certainly skill-wise, you know, Latrell's outstanding and he's been strong in that age group, and I still don't think we've seen the best of him.
Yep.
I think, you know, Joey Manu, he's matured well, you know, and probably a little bit quicker than I probably thought, as in, you know, standing up to the week in and week out. He fell away a little bit there, but, you know, you'd expect that, you know. And Grant Garvey's another one that's still...
Grant Garvey, Victor Radley, there's a heap of them.
So he's still, you know, learning his trade. Obviously, we've got Jake there, so... But he's, you know, still got to get bigger and stronger, and he's got to get better in his D. So they've all got things to work on, and that's part of, you know, their development.
Over your long coaching career, and you've been to a few clubs, what's been your proudest achievement?
Yeah, obviously SG Ball. You know, I've been coaching probably for 24, 25 years. I've been with the Dragons. We won a couple of 20s comps there. You know, I was with the Storm for a bit in New South Wales Cup in 20s, but obviously getting my own team because, you know, a lot of the people I coach with are full-time and I'm part-time coach, so I've been given the opportunity in the last couple of years to go back and do the ball and then take over the 20s, which is, you know, I owe the club a lot for that. And to be able to do that as a part-time coach is good because at that level there is a lot of full-time coaches.
Can I ask you, what is it that appeals to you about taking young men and developing young players and young talent into, you know, professional first grade footballers?
Probably a little bit about myself, and, you know, I probably just missed out on that opportunity, played lower grades and was always, you know, kicking myself that I never played first grade, or so that, you know, that was sort of a driving factor, and to help young blokes and to just be a part of the game. You know, you love the game, you love being around the team. So, you know, I'm getting a bit older now, I'm still knocking around with 20-year-olds, but it does give you a lease of life. And, you know, I've got my young boys coming through now. You know, one's the manager, Tate, other's the ball boy. So it's good for them to grow up in a good environment.
Bunzi, what's the hardest thing about coaching?
Younger people. I think people get a little bit self-centered when they're younger, like we probably all were. They think about themselves and not about the team, and I think that's been one of our biggest struggles this year. And I probably think as the years go by, I probably see more people being more self-centered than in the past. Maybe that's a thing of the future, I'm not sure, but certainly trying to get them to think about other people before themselves needs to be done. The team needs to be before, you know, the individual, and it took us a while to get that happening this year. I think I pride myself in being able to build a good team and a good team environment, but it took a little bit of time to get that happen this year.
So much is talked about in rugby league and even at park football, it's about culture. What do you think is the best culture to have in a football or in a sporting team?
It's all based on hard work. Our culture is about hard work. My life is all about, you know, from a mother working for 30 years to 7 days a week when my father left. So that's my breeding, is about hard work, and good things come to, you know, people who work hard. So I try to pass that on to the players. I don't think you get anywhere, you know, even if you're a Latrell Mitchell and you're not prepared to work, you know, you'll find you'll go nowhere. There's been plenty of footballers fall away that have been good footballers, and I've seen a lot of them.
Of course.
And if you're not working hard, you're not buying into that team environment, then, you're still not going to go through at this level.
Mate, Wyong Roos, they get the week off this week, play for a grand final qualifier the following week. Roosters Friday night. Just your thoughts on both sides and how do you think they're going?
They hung in there, Wyong, on the weekend. They... the Bulldogs hit back, and I thought we were in a little bit of trouble there, but the boys pushed through, and then they went into extra time, and they actually found another leg. And
you know, sometimes you just got to gain that momentum. Sometimes it's not about, you know, the pretty footy. Sometimes it's just about finding your elbows and knees, playing the ball, supporting. You know, and I'm sure that was the case in the NRL. It was about quick play the balls. It wasn't about anything fancy. When we came back in that last 10 minutes on the weekend, it was stacking up the tackles, making them, you know, get back after we played the ball quickly, and then we're all over them. So, yeah, that's the game. That's probably where both teams need to get better because it is about the little things.
And what are you going to do now, mate? Season's over. Go and have a holiday. What are your plans?
We're actually going to get the boys in that are still eligible for next year and the new boys. So we're going to train for the next 3 days a week, for the next 4 weeks. We'll do skills tomorrow night in the club at the moment. We've got everybody doing their exit medicals. And so there's still a bit going on. Obviously, I helped a little bit on the sideline there in the NRL, so still involved there, so that'll be good. And then probably in a month's time, get to take that holiday. So.
Well, Barnsley, we want to thank you so much, mate, for your time. You've been a big, big supporter of Roosters Radio and always given you time, but more importantly, you've developed half our first grade team. So, you know, I reckon, you know, to stand next to you and have a beer, you'd have a bit of a wry smile, and in about 2 or 3 years' time, you're going to be sitting there going, I'm a dream maker, because most of that team's mine. And thanks so much. The fans love it. You did a great job last year giving us a monumental victory over the unbeatable favourites, and I think that's a great moment. And what you did in SG Ball, not many people can say they've taken both those titles. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Welcome back to Roosters Radio, fans. Silky, Friday night, Allianz Stadium, 7:50, kickoff against the Broncos. It's reverse engineered from that terrible trip to Brisbane that we had where SKD in the first minute threw an intercept and Roosters fans' hearts sunk thinking, oh, not one of these games. And it was. Here's a chance to erase all that memory. Here's a chance in front of our home crowd to take another week off and take another step closer towards surprise. How do you see it?
Well, first thing I want to do, Bush, is challenge our Roosters faithful to get to the game on Friday night. Let's make it Fortress Allianz. If this game was in Brisbane, there'd be 45,000 people there. Let's try to at least get 25,000 people. We win this game, we're one game short of the grand final. We've got the team to do it, believe me. I can't wait for Friday night. It's unfortunate Darius Boyd won't be playing for the Broncos, but it's a great positive for us. I know we've got a great record against the Broncos here at Allianz Stadium. I'm looking forward to the match. I think we'll win, and I just can't wait.
Well, I'll tell you what, Silky, you've put the challenge out to the fans. They say we've got fickle fans. I don't believe it at the Roosters. Let's get them out there. So, Roosters fans, en masse, get your tickets, get out to Allianz, and let's cheer our boys on, because we're two games away from the greatest prize in rugby league, and let's get our boys home this weekend against the mighty Broncos.
That's it for this week's Roosters Radio. We want to thank our special guests, Tony Barnes, the legends from 1967, and, of course, Aidan Guerra. That's it for Roosters Radio. East to win.
East know how to play the game, they play it hard and fair. East know how to win the game, they give more than their share. They're great to see in action, these boys to show the way.